Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey folks, I'm Dr. Rob Zammit. Welcome back to the Doggy Pod.
He is Dr. Rob Zammit. And yeah, welcome back. Stephen Peters is my name. I'm Dr. Rob's producer because God knows he needs one, let me tell you. It's like herding cats sometimes.
You imagine cutting me loose on my own? I'd be in deep water.
These podcasts would go for like 7 hours each. It would be crazy. Anyway, today, can your dog have a panic attack? Like some humans have panic attacks? If so, what does it look like?
And I'm going to talk also about pimples and acne in dogs.
Yeah, like teenage dogs that get pimples.
Yeah, let's find out.
And our breed of the week, this week is a breed that, I guess if there's one breed other than Augie, our German Shepherd dog, if there's one breed that Dr. Rob knows, it's this one, and that is Old English Sheepdogs. Those big bundles of hair. And I'm sure we've all wondered, gee, how do you look after those dogs? Anyway, we're going to find out all about Old English Sheepdogs this week as well. Anyway, what's been happening, Rob, in the old clinic?
Well, had a case, this dog had been in several times in a matter of a few months, always for the same thing, very, very sensitive ears.
What sort of dog?
It was Legato, and his ears were just clogged with hair, and he wouldn't let anyone touch them.
Right.
Yeah, he was just growing a lot
what,
of hair.
Fur? Oh, growing fur in his ears.
It was growing out. And, of course, the hair doesn't allow ventilation to occur.
Right.
And that allows moisture to stay there. That causes inflammation. Bacteria go in as secondary invaders as well. So he gets an ear infection and the pain gets worse and becomes a vicious cycle. But we were knocking him out literally every 6 weeks, we were knocking him out and plucking his ears out and thought, this is no good. This can't go on like this. So spoke to the owner at length because it's a major thing that we undertook. We did what's called an ear resection. And if you understand the ear canal of a dog, it virtually from the hole that you can see at the top, it goes down and then in. It doesn't just go downwards first a bit and then inwards. And so that gives a protection to the eardrum, but it's very hard for anything to drain uphill. It's not an easy ear to clean. It's not an easy ear always to maintain. So you've got to check your dog's ears regularly. Make sure you don't get too much hair build up inside. Make sure they're clean. And here's something for you. I actually smell the ears. My dogs, I smell their ears.
Mm.
And if it's not a pleasant, sweet smell, smells foul, that means there's something wrong in there because the smell is bacteria and fungus letting off gas. And that's what that smell tells me, that there's a problem in the ear. And clients think I'm a bit strange. Well, I am. But when I'm checking a dog all over, even just for a vaccination, I do all over and I lift up the ear and I have a little smell. And I'm sure
something tells you something straight away.
Tells me if the ears are clean or not. It's the easiest way, easier than getting a scope and the dog doesn't want the scope in the ear and those sort of things. Mm. Just do it. So this dog, every 6 weeks, his ears smelt. And you know, keeping on using antibiotics and drops, it's not good for him. So an ear resection, we take away a portion of the ear and virtually the hole now comes straight out the side. So the drainage is straight out the side. There's access to the whole ear. I mean, you know, any hairs that will grow up from here will be plucked. Now, it's a big surgery.
I was going to say, that sounds painful.
You're reconstructing the ear canal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yes, it's painful afterwards. But so he was on painkillers for a few days. And then once I felt he was we're decreasing the dose, we stopped them and he wasn't shaking his head anymore. And he was happy enough just taking his food and his antibiotics orally. He went home only yesterday. It started virtually 5 days ago and now he's off home. He will need, and he had a long anaesthetic for that because we do both left and right ear. Sometimes you just do a unilateral, just do it on one side because only one ear that's causing a chronic problem to the dog. So that's not uncommon for it to be just one ear all the time. But it just opens the whole thing up. It allows air to get to the ear and to the ear canal and allows owners to very easily, gently clean the ear without any problems at all. Now, this dog will have to have another anaesthetic to get all the stitches out. It's a big exercise in suturing. Like I can't tell you. I think it was over 100 stitches on one side. Each side there would have been.
But what caused it in the first place? Do you know?
This was an unusual case because it was literally growing a lot of hair out every time, you know, out of the ear canal. It was just lots of hair. And when I did cut down the side of the ear canal and pulled it downwards, you could still see, we thought we'd cleaned up pretty well, but we could still see hair deep inside, which we plucked out as well. So, but it can be just chronic infection. The infection gets into the membrane, and when you clean it, you put ear drops in, you give them antibiotics, you kill 90% of the infection, probably 99% of the infection. But that 1% sits in deep inside the tissues. Once the antibiotics are gone, out it comes again. It's the one thing that if I ever make it upstairs, I'll ask the good Lord if you could just redesign the dog's ears.
I don't know if you're going upstairs, Rob. Just
no, I don't think I did. I'm sorry.
What's a Legato look like?
A Legato?
Legato.
It's a curly-coated dog, a bit like our Molly that sometimes people see on our Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
But much bigger, like a medium-sized dog.
But very curly hair, like a poodle type
hair. Yeah, we haven't actually had them as a breed of the week because they're also known as a truffle hunting dog.
Oh, that's right.
Now, truffles, they have been bred in Italy to hunt truffles. And if you think that's weird, just remember truffles per kilo are more expensive than gold per kilo.
Yes.
So they're a very handy dog to have in your backyard. If you've got one, you can train it. And they do in Australia as well. They take them to Canberra and Tasmania.
Oh, Tasmania, yeah.
Where there's truffles there. And they will get these dogs that will go hunting truffles.
So this won't affect his hearing?
No, in fact, I expect it'll be better because he won't have all the hair clogged up in there. You know, he's been trying to hear with cotton wool stuck down his ears.
Yeah.
That's all gone now. And I think he'll get a lot happier in himself because you can see this dog when he, you know, once we've done him and he settles down cleaning it, he's much happier. And then as time passes on, you can say he gets a bit, she said to me, the owner said he gets a bit cranky or, you know, distracted and he's scratching the ears and he's not happy at all. What I'm trying to do is give him a quality of life where he's happy all the time. And that's important to me and him.
Okay, it's really nice actually recording these episodes now with Augie sitting in the studio with us, just usually on Dr. Rob's lap.
He's been a good boy today.
He's just sitting here, just watching, wondering what the hell's going on. What he's not is he's not panicked. I can tell you that much. He's very chilled. But you know, can dogs get panic attacks? Is there such a thing? Like, what would spook a dog, and what would they naturally want to do?
Yeah,
attack. Well,
The panic that I see, the main cause of panic in dogs is thunderstorms. Not all dogs are panicked by it, but some dogs are absolutely go insane if there's a loud thunderclap or just a loud noise.
Mm.
Of course, I think there's a difference between anxiety and panic. I'm sure of that. And for me, you know, people write these papers on panic in dogs and say, oh, they pant a lot and they salivate and they pace up and down. I'm not sure they're panicked. Now, that to me, when I see a dog really panicking, it takes off. You know, it just
runs.
It runs, it cries, whatever, and you know, it'll run into a glass door and go through it. Virtually, I've seen that. I think I mentioned once of a client that had a new car which he had in his garage. His dog was panicked by a storm, so he locked the dog in the garage. He had an old car when he came back. it was a mess.
Right.
The dog just panics, and they, you know, they claw at everything, and they take off. I think a really panicked dog does that sort of thing, not just breathes a lot and pants a lot and walks up and down a lot and won't settle a lot. That, to me, may be a bit anxious. Either way, if they're panicked, you've got to try and really calm the dog down. And a panicked dog, you have a lot of trouble rationalising with. I like to put my arms right around them. When I see a dog panicking, really give them a firm hug, and that calms them down. And that's part of the treatment. That people use these thunder jackets, and it doesn't always work, but it works in, you know, if a certain percentage of cases. People say, oh, my dog's so much better with it on. When a storm comes, he's okay, he can cope. Because that hugging, as if your owner is hugging you, you're feeling good. It's pressing down acupuncture points that relax you, plus you're feeling just, yeah, I'm all nice and firm and everything's fine and the world is good. So that's one of the things. People do sometimes put them on drugs, but I honestly believe a panic attack, constant drugs you can't use, because a real panic attack, they take off. You have to really tranquilize them heavily if you want them. If you know a storm's coming and they're going to panic, you really need to tranquilize them heavily to stop them racing off and hurting themselves.
Well, you've talked in the past about giving dogs valerian, which is an organic...
Yeah.
What is it? It just calms them.
Yeah, it's a calmative. And I think that's good for dogs. I don't think it really helps that much for panic, but it does help when they're a bit anxious and a bit worried about life. True panic for me, when I've... You know, I eat, live and breathe dogs. And when I've seen dogs that panic, the only way to treat it is to try and tranquilize them or hold them very, very firmly.
Do you remember when you were a teenager? Do you, Rob? It's a while ago.
That's a long, many lifetimes ago.
Life was in black and white back then, wasn't it?
So much easier. and yet you thought it was so complicated, didn't you?
I know, if only you knew what was coming. Oh,
it was so much easier, so much easier.
Anyway, but probably in your teenage years, though, you may have, like most people, had pimples.
Oh, I did. It was awful. It was awful. You felt very self-conscious, didn't you? That was terrible.
So can dogs get pimples?
Yeah. Acne? It's funny because certain breeds are more predisposed to it than others. And sometimes they can come out because of certain conditions as well.
And how would you know, though? Because, I suppose it depends on the breed, how much fur they've got. It might cover it up.
No, you don't tend to see them so much on the body. You actually see it around the face.
Yeah, just like a human.
Yeah, and there's not much hair around the face on most of them. And the breeds like boxers and English bulldogs, you see it in Great Danes and Mastiffs and even Dobermans and Rottweilers. They're the most common. They have very short hair around the face.
Mm.
Maybe the long-haired ones get it and we don't see it.
that's what I'm thinking,
But they get all these little pussy sores, red areas, little red marks
on
their face.
Actual pimples, exactly.
And they're just like pimples, and of course, which are clogged hair follicles, and they clog up and then prone to bacteria, and so the pus comes, and some of them literally get around adolescence and they grow out of it. But
so very similar.
A lot of them have.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All their life. And I just try and get owners to wash their face with...
Yeah, what can they do? What can people do?
Mostly I try and treat it topically, wash their face with a, you know, one of the antibacterial type products that we use for pimples in humans.
Mm.
Products like Physohex we use in Australia a lot, which washes and helps the bacteria. And then dry it, make sure the area is very dry. And trying to keep that area dry, especially when it's under the chin, is very hard in a lot of dogs because of, you know, saliva and that. But I get them to keep that dry. And then I might give them a prescription of a cortisone / antibiotic cream that they can put on there twice a day for a few days. And that'll often help keep things calmer for the dog. Most of them grow out of it. You can get a thing called cellulitis, which looks like pimples, where the whole face becomes, you do get little pimples on it, but it all becomes inflamed. And that's an autoimmune reaction. Breeds that get that, like Weimaraners, get it after vaccinations sometimes.
Right.
So it's you have to treat that internally with actual cortisone tablets. But pimples themselves, yeah, as long as you're not too many bacterial infections in that area, you can usually treat topically quite okay.
So our breed that we're talking about this week is one that I guess Dr. Rob knows more than most people, having judged them and owns a whole bunch of them, always has had.
Yeah, it's probably my wife, of course. She has judged them the world. And I think when you met her, you met my wife before I did, in fact, on a TV show many years ago that will remain unnamed.
Best that way, yes.
And she was breeding. She started breeding Olding sheepdogs when she was 14 years of age. Yeah, that's a long time ago. She's had them for a long time.
It's at least 10 years ago.
And she's even judged the big shows in America with Olding sheepdogs. Some really big shows. So she's world renowned.
Well, why am I talking to you then?
You're so correct.
But
if I get anything wrong, I'll get the brands of the kitchen tonight. Oh, gosh, yes. So the breed started back in the 1700s in England, but not in London or Manchester or the cities. It started out in the country. It is a sheepdog. It's a big dog, big dog.
Because they don't look particularly agile. Well, like a sheepdog that we know here in Australia.
No, but they're not the little like kelpie. Yeah. And yet some people have used them for herding in Australia. Can you believe that?
I can't.
I know. I've seen it on films and videos, and I'm quite amazed. And they do quite well because they're a big dog. You know, the sheep, especially like a big mob, and the ram wants to stand up to some of the little dogs.
Yeah.
He's not going to stand up to an old sheepdog. I mean, they've got big teeth, Stephen.
So they are agile, though, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so.
They just don't look it with all that fur.
Even in the standard, it says they should have an elastic gallop. Yeah, and if you see them galloping, And I guess that's the thing. We see all that fur. But when they first started in the 1700s, they were used to take the sheep from the farms. And with the farm boy, he would go with them to the markets. And they would protect the sheep from any marauding wild dogs or any marauders, as well as the sheep boy himself. You know, they'd look after him. And they looked after him in two ways. One, anyone trying to get close to them or the sheep, the dogs would certainly skitch them away very fast. And the other thing is, they had a fair bit of coat, probably not as long as the coats that we see today, but they were thick coats. And so the shepherd boy would lie down with them at night to have a sleep and keep him warm. So there was an added benefit in having a hairy dog that would take these sheep to markets. You could do it with this hairy dog that kept you warm no matter what time of year it is in England, it's always going to be cold. Let's face it. Lately, who knows? But so that's what they were used for. And now, of course, they're well known as the Dulux dogs, the Dulux paint company.
Yes, they've been using them for years.
Years and years. They've become the absolute almost an emblem.
I don't know why. But
no, but it's there all the time now. Mm. They're in the ads all the time with these Alderton sheepdogs doing all sorts of paint jobs with them. But
I noticed you have a lot of them.
Yeah.
But some of them are shorn as well.
Yes, it makes it a lot easier to look after them when in this country, especially you just trim them off, and that makes it a lot easier to look after them when you trim them off. Makes life very easy. When Opie, the one that is always with me, we go down to the beach. If he had that long coat, it's not going to be a good look when I come home with this soggy dog and a lot of sand. Trimmed off, I can just take him to a tap, rinse him off, all the sand comes out, the salt comes out. He dries quickly in the car and we go home. So it's a lot easier to look after. And you can have them trimmed off. I mean, the one reason you would buy an old English sheepdog is that just the beautiful, loving heart they have for people.
Do they?
They are just great family dogs. They have... It's the standard says they have a Pocasse bark. That means a real deep barrel bark. Yeah, and so not like that one.
Right on cue. That's not one of your old English.
Oh, that is now.
See, there you go.
They're chimed in.
Perfect timing. Anyway, so
they this deep bark. If someone's approaching and they hear this deep bark, oh, no, we won't go into that house. Yeah. The police say that if you've got a dog that barks, it'll often keep anyone away has bad intentions at your place. They'll find something easier, an easier target. So if you've got a dog with a big, deep bark, it certainly keeps people away. And as I said, they're big teeth dogs. Like I think I prefer to take on a German Shepherd than take on an Old English Sheepdog.
Oh, really? But
they're not savage. Yeah, that's the thing. They're not a guard dog as such. They will protect you. They would protect you as an owner. I can guarantee you they're very loyal.
Mm.
And if someone's going to try and do you harm, they'd get in there and interfere. Everybody's chiming in there. We've got a lot of different dogs here, folks.
As we say, there are a lot of dogs at the Doggy Pod studio and outside.
But if you want one, you've got to remember they're a big dog. They need the exercise to just enjoy a good gallop if you can somewhere. Great obedience dogs have been used for obedience as well. You see them on videos on YouTube and that as obedience dogs. And just a loving dog. And when they're in full coat and presented properly, they are very beautiful.
Mm. My question I've always wondered is, though, when they've got that, full body of fur, how can they see where they're going? Because it's like literally their eyes are covered in fur. How do they...
If there's too much there, they really can't sometimes.
And
so you'll see all owners have their... if you look at their head very carefully, all that's in their eclipse in their hair to keep it away from their eyes.
Yeah, I've seen that. But normally they're walking around not seeing particularly well, are they?
Well, if there's a lot of hair over the eyes, you can't. Yeah. So that's why they'll have the hair put up in a bun, if you like, so that they can see easier.
But if you were showing it, it has to be out. You wouldn't do that if you were a show dog.
They'll use a bit of hair gel just to keep it up out of the eyes and things like that, just to make sure they can see. Yeah, because they don't want to be cruel to the dog in any way, shape or form.
No,
And so they need to see. But having said that too, the ones with a lot of hair, they just trust their owner. They said, right, I'll just run beside you. Now, the dog's most important sense of smell. And so if they're with their owner, they can smell their owner, that's fine. I'll just enjoy the little larking around, running around with my owner, and then up goes the hair into a clip afterwards.
Sounds like there's a party going on outside, Dr. Rob. I think you might need to go and investigate.
That's a frog.
You've got frogs here as well.
Yeah, which is, I love that, because if you have frogs in your area, it means that the area, environmentally, it's not polluted. It's a very healthy sign for the environment. I had one client, or not even a client,
frogs,
it was just a person ring me up and said, I've got a lot of frogs. I said, no, but I don't want them. They keep me awake. What can I do about it? And I said, leave them alone. Move house. But it's a good sign for the environment when you hear frogs.
All right, just before we wrap it up here, Oggy's been sitting with us the whole time. Now, Rob's had Oggy now for probably 6 to 8 weeks thereabouts. So how's the training going?
Oh, fantastic. I'm loving it, and he is too.
Is he?
At this age, it's all about play behaviour and playing with him and giving your time to the dog. That's the the main thing you're trying to do with training, first thing you should do is bond. Don't ask a dog to sit if he doesn't like you or not bonded with him. Yeah, make sure you bond with the dog. So we've done a lot of that. And during the bonding period, I do gently put him into a sit position as he does it. I just say sit and reward him. Yeah, good dog. Sometimes it's food reward. When I feed him, every time I've fed this dog since I've got him, I just sit there with him, say, good dog, good dog. And what does he do? He actually wags his tail more while I'm feeding him.
Okay.
And so he's getting positive reinforcement with the words. So those words later on, when he says sit and he sits and I say good dog, he'll feel good because he'll associate it with that feeling good of eating, that feeling good of my owner being with me when we eat. We eat as a team together, as a pack.
He must be naughty at some stage, though, I'm sure.
Never.
He is still a little kid, you know.
He's got very sharp teeth. Oh, gosh, I can't wait until they...
Is he chewing lots of things?
Lots of things he shouldn't, and I give him lots of things he should. So
how do you... Okay, here's a bit of training for people at home. If you've got a new dog and it's doing something it shouldn't be doing, like chewing, which they all love to do, what would you do? What's the first thing you do? You're not going to hit it.
No. People say, just distract it. And I like to use a word of admonishment, so I'll just pull him away and go, no, and just growl it the way his mother would.
Okay.
So there is a word that says, you're not allowed to do that.
Mm.
Otherwise, how do they know what they're allowed to do and not allowed to do?
But I'm sure he's been naughty some ways. I mean, he is just a young fella. But, you know, if he is chewing something...
Sure.
You know, what do you do? You're obviously not going to smack him or anything.
So
what should anybody do?
People will say, just distract him, take him away and give him a reward. If you give him a reward, he thinks, oh, I'm being rewarded for what I said. I'll do it again. Yeah. Let's keep doing that. So for me, I do pull him away and I use a word of admonishment. Yeah, for me, people say you shouldn't admonish a dog. It's just a word where I growl it out the way his mother would if he was being brought up in a pack or the pack leader would in a pack. So I say, no. And he knows when I say that, that means stop what you're doing.
In that tone of voice.
Straight away, I then give him something else to do and reward him. Always finish on a positive. So I'll go, no, and pull him away. And I'll have one of his chew toys. You go, good boy, good dog. And maybe give him a little bit of food or just tell him he's a good boy.
Mm.
For him, when I say that, wags his tail. He likes to know that he is a good boy.
Okay.
So, his training's coming along really well. I'm very, very happy. Actually, he's already coming when I call him. He just comes when he's called. He sits when he's told.
He's getting used to his name?
Oh, he loves Oggy. He thinks it's a great name. He said that to him. He said, oh, I'm glad I'm Oggy.
Whoever chose that name.
Yeah, my little August.
Anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you once again for listening. And we will see you next time.
See you, folks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.